the familiar theme from both the film and the TV series, the great TV series, The Odd Couple, with Jack Klugman and Tony Randall. And that show was created and brought to the television screen by Gary Marshall. Gary Marshall was one of the most important comedic voices in television history, creating and writing incredible episodes of television comedy and creating amazing shows. And he passed away at 81 yesterday. And he was known for, you know, creating so much great stuff and also appearing on screen in many things and having some great movie appearances as well. Writer-director Gary Marshall, whose deft touch with comedy and romance led to a string of TV hits that included Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley and the box office successes of Pretty Woman and Runaway Bride, he died on Tuesday in a hospital in Burbank, complications from pneumonia after having a stroke, his publicist said in a statement. The director also had an on-screen presence using his New York accent and gruff delivery in colorful supporting roles, including the practical-minded casino boss unswayed by Albert Brooks' disastrous luck in Lost in America, and a crass network executive in Soap Dish. Just a quick mention of those. We're going to play part of the scene between Albert Brooks and Gary Marshall in Lost in America, but I couldn't find a scene with him from Soap Dish. I scoured the internet, and I couldn't find the scene from Soap Dish that I wanted to use. Dan, you've not seen Soap Dish.
You know, after you described it to me, I did catch it a couple times on HBO.
It was, you know, it's played on cable many, many times. It's 25 years old, which is shocking. Came out in 91. And it is a really funny movie if you've not seen it. Esmeralda, have you seen Soap Dish?
I have not.
It's a wild and hilarious comedy written by the great Andrew Bergman, who wrote The In-Laws. He co-wrote Blazing Saddles. I mean, this is a guy, when you see the name Andrew Bergman on the credits, on the writing credits of anything comedic, you're in good hands. One of the most brilliant comedy writers of all time. Anyway, Soap Dish was this really hilarious comedy about the inner workings of a soap opera, of a network soap opera, with an incredible cast. Let's see if I can remember everybody who's in it. Whoopi Goldberg, Robert Downey Jr., Sally Field, and I think one of her funniest performances of all time, Kevin Kline, who's hilarious in it, Terry Hatcher, Kathy Moriarty. I'm trying to remember who else is in it, and I'm blanking on some of the other people that are in it. Elizabeth Shue, Kathy Najimy is in it, and it is unbelievably funny. And Gary Marshall plays the head of the network, who comes in because this soap opera is failing. So he comes in, and everybody's scared. He walks into the boardroom and sits down. He's very upset, and he has this great speech about what he wants to do. To, you know, he wants this show to improve. And the best part is it's that Gary Marshall delivery. Gary Marshall had that New York accent. But he says, you know, we got the show right now. I hear because in the movie Soap Dish, the show that they're on, the soap opera they call on, is called The Sun Also Sets. And so he's like, I got people walking around in the hallway here telling the show is called The Sun Also Sucks. I can't have this. We got all these people when the show right now is in Jamaica, a bunch of homeless people slurping soup. And there's a big wave that I got to spend $100,000 on. It's depressing and expensive. And those are two words I don't like. Do you know what words I like? I like the word cheap and I like the word peppy. And I couldn't find that clip, but the peppy and cheap line is hysterical. So anyway, and then, you know, because it's like a scene stealing moment. I mean, that's a movie stealing moment, that scene. And then this scene in Lost in America. Now, Dan, you've seen Lost in America, right?
I have, yes.
Okay. Esmeralda, have you seen Lost in America?
I have not.
Oh. One of the greatest American comedies ever made, period. One of the best movies of the 80s, starring and written and directed by the brilliant Albert Brooks, who But and okay, now you have no excuse, Esmerella, because all 7 Albert Brooks movies that he wrote and directed are streaming on Netflix.
I was just about to look for it.
Look for Lost in America. Get it. It's there's 7 the 7 Albert Brooks movies that he's in and he wrote and directed. He's only made 7 movies. All of them are great. 5 of them are masterpieces. You can't say that much about a lot of comedic directors. 5 of them are masterpieces. 5 of them are the best comedies ever made. And my favorite of all of them is Lost in America. And in it, he and Julie Haggerty play these yuppies. He doesn't get the promotion he thinks he's going to get, so he quits. They drop out of society. They liquidate all their assets. They buy a Winnebago, and the plan is that for the rest of their lives, they're just going to drive around the country with their nest egg. Unfortunately, they go to Vegas one night, and Julie Haggerty gets up in the middle of the night and blows their entire nest egg and loses it in Vegas. The scene that Gary Marshall has is Albert Brooks, as an ad executive, trying to convince Gary Marshall, who is the guy who runs the casino, the Desert Inn, and tries to convince Gary Marshall to give them their money back, to give them their nest egg back. And it's a scene of excruciating uncomfortableness, which is also hilarious, which is also genius. And Gary Marshall in it is brilliant. And there's some improvisation going on in there. And we're going to play that scene. I think it's one of the funniest scenes ever in movie history, is him trying to convince Gary Marshall to give them their money back. We're going to hear that. He started out, he was with Jerry Belson. They started writing scripts this is how far back Gary Marshall goes. Esmeralda, he wrote scripts for The Lucy Show. He wrote scripts for Danny Thomas, Dick Van Dyke Show. He wrote scripts for Dick Van Dyke. That's how far back, Gary Marshall goes into TV comedy. I mean, almost at the beginning of TV comedy itself. This guy's been a part of it. They went into screenwriting. They wrote How Sweet It Is with Debbie Reynolds. They followed up with The Grasshoppers with Jacqueline Bisset. And then it was then that they went to TV and they turned Neil Simon's Broadway hit and then movie into a TV show. It was produced by Marshall. It ran for 5 seasons. I have a classic scene from The Odd Couple. Dan, Had you seen this scene before this morning?
I had not.
Okay. Esmeralda, did you ever watch The Odd Couple with Jack Klugman and Tony Randall?
On and off.
It's a great show. It is a great show. And Gary Marshall was part of the script writer's every move. Like they would, like all the scripts would have to go through Gary Marshall. And he's one of these guys who would also punch up scripts. He would doctor scripts. Like if they needed a joke here, he was genius at doing that. So this is one of my favorite scenes ever in The Odd Couple. Esmeralda, did you see the episode? I'm about to play a clip from it where they actually go on Password. Felix and Oscar go on Password. Okay, so they go. Alan Ludden is there; he's the host. Betty White is there as the celebrity, and the idea is that Felix and Oscar go on Password. All right, this is a scene that Gary Marshall is heavily responsible for. And if you've never seen it, just picture them. They're on the set of Password, and it's them playing Password. This is one of my favorite scenes ever on The Odd Couple.
I'm a very good cook, and I'm a lot of fun at parties,
yeah,
people
tell. Sounds like you lead a rich, full life, Mr. Unger. Now let's play Password.
Thank you, Alan.
I'll give the password first to Oscar, Madison, and Betty White. And as they look at it, we want you to see it at home.
The password is gravy.
Okay, Betty, the first option is yours for 10 points. Pass or play?
I'll play.
10 points.
Sauce. Mayonnaise.
9 points, Oscar.
Meat.
Lincoln.
Eight points, Betty.
Covering. Gravy.
You got it. 8 points for the lead.
Lincoln?
It's a known fact that Lincoln loves mayonnaise.
Okay, let's move right along. Felix.
Thank you, Oscar.
The word. Millicent, you have the word, and as they look at it, we'd like you to see it.
The password is Bird.
All right, Felix, you have the option this time. Pass or play?
I'll play, Ellen.
10 points.
Aristophanes. Greek.
9 points, Millicent.
Canary. Bird.
You got it! And so the score of 17-0 was through these messages. Aristophanes.
That's a perfect clue. Everybody knows Aristophanes wrote a play called The Birds.
Everybody but me. Will you stop being so perfect, Felix? Will you stop it? Now, we're losing here. Now, come on. Let's go to get together.
Why do you think I'm giving you these great clues?
Great clues? If Charlie Chan had these clues, he'd be running a laundry. Now, we're losing 17-0.
I always win at home. Don't I fix your
time? Leave it alone.
Put it back.
Never mind at home. This is the big time. Oh, the heck with it. This is big time now.
At least open your collar.
Felix, will you listen to me? We're going to lose this entire game. Now we're being queen. Now this is important. I want you to give me good clues.
I'll give
you to work
with,
okay?
I'm glad you got the spirit, because we're gonna win, win, win.
Yes, now listen. No more Greek clues. Aristophanes is ridiculous.
Stand by.
Okay, back to the game. And the word goes to Oscar Madison, Betty White with a score of 17-0. This is the word.
The password is ridiculous.
All right. Oscar, you have the option. Pass or play.
I'm gonna play, Alan. Aristophanes.
Ridiculous. You got it.
So great. As well, isn't that hilarious?
That was good.
It goes on another 4 minutes of them being on password. It is absolutely hysterical. But that's like some of the, like, Gary Marshall went in there and joked that up. You know what I mean? Like, it's got Gary Marshall written all over it. So that's great. So he, you know, that's the first big success he had in television, was that. And he rejected retirement, serving as a consultant on the reboot of 2015's The Odd Couple. He was a consultant on that. In 79, at one point, this is unbelievable. In January of 1979, at one point, Gary Marshall had 3 of the top 5 comedies on television that he oversaw. He produced the 3 of the top 5 comedies on television. He had Happy Days, which ran from 1974 to 1984, Laverne and Shirley, which ran from 76 to 83, and Mork and Mindy, which ran from 78 and 82. And essentially, he's responsible for, actually, his sister is responsible for discovering Robin Williams, which we'll hear a clip about how they found Robin Williams for the show. So at one point, the guy dominated television comedy in the 70s and early 80s, and then moved on to movies. The first movie he ever directed was a movie called Young Doctors in Love, which I have a clip from, which features the hilarious Harry Dean Stanton. And then he'd go on to direct many, many other movies and a lot of very, very successful ones, including Beaches and Pretty Woman and stuff like that. So we'll pay more tribute to Gary Marshall. We've got some tweets here from celebrities. And if you want to jump in here with your Gary Marshall memories or your favorite Happy Days or Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy, Odd Couple moments, 312-981-7200.
Sunday, Monday, Happy Days.
Oh, yeah. Happy Days, classic television show from the 70s that was created by Gary Marshall, who passed away on Tuesday. And, you know, he actually estimated that he cranked out over 1,000 sitcom episodes. Over 1,000. And many of them really, really great. And like I said just a little while ago, he at one point had the 3 top comedies on television. They were his shows. And Happy Days is probably the most iconic of the shows that he created. We have a little clip here of Gary Marshall talking about creating Happy Days. And so people really loved that show. It stayed on for a very long time. And it made stars out of pretty much everybody on the show, including Henry Winkler. as well. But this was this is Gary Marshall, who we just passed away. We're paying tribute to Gary Marshall. By the way, if you want to jump in with any talk or text about Gary Marshall or his TV shows or movies, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Serge Gary Marshall talking about how Happy Days became a TV show.
We did a pilot, and it was called New Family in Town, and Marion Ross was in it, and Erin Moran was in it, and Ron Howard actually was in it. And it didn't sell at all, and they put it away. And like typical television, a lot of television is derivative. So luckily, George Lucas did a movie called American Graffiti, which he used my pilot to cast Ron Howard. He looked at it. Fred Roos was his casting director. And they found Ron. And then a great show on Broadway came out called Grease. And immediately TV said, look, the 50s are in. We got one of them. And they looked on their shelf, and there was New Family in Town. And Eisner was the four. He ran. He was at the network. And he said, come on, we'll do this. In those days, if you made a pilot that did not sell, they put it on Love American Style. Well, they threw it on during the summer because they wanted to make their money back. So New Family in Town went on Love American Style. And nobody rose up and said, a great show. They went, let's see that one about the tuber again. We like that one. So I think Dissolve, Grease comes out, American Graffiti comes out. They say, look at this. I'm getting drunk at the party. Let's have a 50 show. So I redid the pilot. And this time we wrote three scripts because, you know, a lot of people like to know the process. What, you just sit down? No. We wrote three scripts. I got three stories. We wrote three different scripts. And then the network was going to pick one to be the pilot. So we're very brave in those days. And for some reason, the censor went out for a cup of coffee because we did a show called All the Way about a girl who supposedly went all the way. Of course, she didn't go all the way, but you knew that at 8 o'clock. But still, that was what it was about. And we cast it again, and Ron Howard came back after a lot of didn't want to be on it. And the only thing he wanted was he didn't want to be a perennial kid. So he says, if I go on the show, you'll let it progress. I'll go through high school. I'll go through college. I'll get out of college. I said, yes, if we go that long from your mouth to God's ear. And we did. And he came on, and we had Tom Bosley instead of Harold Gould was in the original. And Erin Moran was still there. Mary Ross was still there. We brought in some characters. And then Michael Eisner went and saw American Graffiti. And he said, we need a gang. They got a gang in there, those bad guys. We need bad guys. He said, we got to cast 1,000 of them. We got no bad. There's no room. So finally, I maneuvered around, and I remembered guys in my neighborhood. So I said, I got one guy who'll be the gang. The rest will come and go. One guy's the gang. And we created this character, Fonzie, who was originally called Matt. We were going to call him Arthur Masciarelli, but MASH was the name of a show, so the nickname MASH wouldn't work. So Bob Brunner, who was one of the writers, came up with the name Fonzarelli. We did something we could have short hand, and that was Fonzarelli, and we put him in. And I had done, see, a lot of times people understand you try something here, it doesn't work, you try it again over here. I played a character in Blansky's Beauties. I acted. I played a guy who worked in the casino in Vegas who never spoke. Just wore dark glasses and walked around scared everybody. And it almost worked. The show didn't work. So I said, let's do that again. We get a guy who don't talk. It's always scary when a guy doesn't talk. So Arthur Fonzarelli was originally written just to point and do gestures and say very little. And I always remember one of my favorite actors was Gary Cooper, who said mostly yup and became a gigantic star, which amazed me. So I said, he'll say little. And that's how we put this show together. And the original writers on it was, on one of the episodes, was Rob Reiner was on. He was a writer on our staff. We did a staff job there. And it went on. And nobody else, and that was the first show I did pretty much created by myself.
There you go. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up. More of a tribute to the great Gary Marshall coming up right after the news.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hasenberg.
Love Vernon Shirley. When that show first came on, the first three, four seasons, absolutely hilarious. Gary Marshall created that show. He was one of the biggest voices in comedy television of all time. Went on to do films and direct. Appeared in many movies and appeared on many TV shows. Passed away at the age of 81 on Tuesday, and we're paying tribute to Gary Marshall. I'll tell you a little bit more about his life and some of his credits. We've got more audio to play from interviews and from clips of his movies and show and stuff like that. We've got texts coming in from the listeners about Gary Marshall and you know, the TV shows that he did and the movies he did, and we welcome those. 312-981-7200. And we also have tweets that were put up by people that he worked with and other celebrities who were affected by him. Gary Marshall passed away at 81. Here's Marty on WGN. Hi, Marty.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All
hey,
right.
I like him as an actor. I like when his sister cast him in A League of Our Own or A League of Their Own.
Right.
And I mean, he was pretty good because he reminded me of a boss I wanted to slap. You know, I mean, you know, he was a pretty good actor, and I actually enjoyed, you know, his part as Mr. Harvey. And you know, I don't know if he appeared. I don't remember what else he appeared in, but for me, his part stood out in that movie.
Yeah. Well, Marty, you know, a little bit later on, we're gonna have you seen Albert Brooks's movie Lost in America?
You know, only part of it. I've never seen the whole thing.
Okay.
I don't know why.
And again, if you have Netflix, it's there, as are all of Albert Brooks's brilliant movies. I'm going to play audio from the scene between Albert Brooks and Gary Marshall. It's one of the funniest scenes ever in movie history.
Yeah, please do. I'd like to hear that.
We're going to play that a little bit later on. And also, if you haven't seen Soap Dish, the movie Soap Dish, as I mentioned earlier, another really great movie with a hilarious performance by Gary Marshall.
I'll give that one as well, because, no, I have not seen that one.
Okay. All right, Marty, thanks, man.
All right. Take care.
There you go. From League of Their Own. Yeah, he was good in League of Their Own. Bob Medea, who is our Sherlock Holmes expert, he texts in, really sad news about the passing of Gary Marshall. What a loss. I love The Flamingo Kid. Oh, The Flamingo Kid, such a great movie. You guys ever seen that one, Dan? You ever seen The Flamingo Kid with Matt Dillon? Richard Crenna. Plays this guy, you know, working class kid who starts working at a country club and as a valet parker. Janet Jones is in it, who became Mrs. Wayne Gretzky. And he's just like this working class kid who starts to flirt with her. And Richard Crenna plays her father, who is like a corrupt dude who becomes his sort of older guy, who becomes his mentor. And it takes him away from his family. It's a period piece. Takes place in the 60s. One of the best Matt Dillon performances of all time. Have you ever seen it, Esmeralda?
I have not.
You should. It's a really good movie. Only the second movie that Gary Marshall directed. And I think it might be his best. Of all the movies he's directed, I think it might be his best. With a really wonderful performance. It's really heartwarming and really funny. Just a really great movie. And the other one that Bob mentions is Nothing in Common. Another great movie with Jackie Gleason and Tom Hanks. Shot right here in Chicago. A lot of great locations, including... again, I don't know why they keep using the building across the street. We've talked about this before. Use the Wrigley building all over the place. but yeah, that's a really good movie with a great performance by Jackie Gleason. His last role, Jackie Gleason's last role, was Nothing in Common. And Gary Marshall directed that. And it was one of the first movies where Tom Hanks played serious. It was, you know, it was a couple of years before Big. You know, before he was taken seriously, got his Oscar nomination. And I remember Nothing in Common was the first one where he got to play some serious stuff. Because up until then, he did, like, The Money Pit. He did Bachelor Party. Nothing of real substance. But he had some really great and powerful scenes between him and Jackie Gleason in that movie. And that's a great movie, Nothing in Common. And then Bob goes on to say, I saw Lost in America on the day I had my wisdom teeth removed. It was exquisite agony, uproarious laughter through clenched jaws. Yeah, I can't imagine watching Lost in America in that way. Let's see, 773 says, Mr. Marshall was great. He played the gruff TV exec on Murphy Brown and the gruff sometimes head of Never Been Kissed with Drew Barrymore. That's right, he was in that, too. I totally forgot he was in that. I see the word gruff being used a lot with Gary Marshall. 262 says, did Gary Marshall create Hollywood Squares, or was he a producer on the show? I thought he was part of the show. Not that I know of. I don't think he did. I know he appeared on the show. as a square a few times. I know that's the case. Maybe he did a little writing. Maybe he wrote some questions for it. I don't know, but he did not create it. All right, so we played a little clip about him talking about the creation of Happy Days. Happy Days ended up spinning off Mork and Mindy and Laverne and Shirley, which at that time were the three biggest comedies that he was in charge of. And here's a little clip of him talking about working with Robin Williams.
Well, first of all, I don't know who the hell he was, but my sister found him for me. My sister Ronnie was my casting director. My sister Penny was in an acting class with Robin. And, you know, you got to be open. That's the other thing you learn in your archives, just the things. I said, get me Jonathan Winters, get me all these famous people. And they said, you got to see this guy, Robin Williams. I said, what has he done? And my sister Ronnie literally said, with her usual sarcasm she got from my mother, he's done nothing. He stands on a street corner and he does mime and he passes his hat around and they give him coins. That's what he's done so far. And you have to see him. You have to stop your busy day and see him. And I did. And he did the whole audition standing on his head and he was great. So he went into Happy Days. He was too fast and you did three cameras, you know, at the same time. And he would run around, but he was improvisation a lot. And so we had, at the time, the world's oldest cameraman, because we had these long series. So I had an 80-year-old man with a camera like this, and we gave him the mark, and he'd go like this, Sam, I remember. He was a great cameraman for me. And Robin would run around. I remember I was directing work. Go! Boom! And he'd run around, and he'd be funny, and he was making me cry. I was laughing so hard. And then I said, cut! And I said, Sam, did you get it? And Sam said, he never came by here. Never came by. Never saw him. What's he wearing? And I said, Sam, you couldn't move the camera a little bit? You know, this man's a genius. And Sam said, if he's such a genius, he can hit the mark on the floor. So that went on for a while like that. That was the show. But then we Bruce Johnson was one of the producers, and we went and we got money. I think we gave back some money to prove it to him the first time. We said, we need another camera just to follow him. And so we got another camera to follow Robin, and then we got him on film. Otherwise, Sam would have still been waiting there. Never came by here, he says to me. A genius he missed. But Robin was not so happy after a few years of TV. He wanted to move on. It was a little confining for him. And again, my fault. I had to go do another job. That's the problem with most of the creators. You go do another job and you can't really stick with it.
That's hilarious. He didn't come by here. Like some 80-year-old union guy. I'm not moving the camera. What was he wearing? That's great. Oh, man. Paula said, I love the times when he and Penny collaborated. I think she got her start on The Odd Couple, which was my favorite show ever. Penny Marshall, I was looking, you know, at interviews and clips and stuff to play this morning, and there was an extended piece that Penny Marshall did. It's available online that was a little too long, but she talked about how basically she owes everything to her brother, to her older brother, Gary. Like, anytime he got hired on to do a polish on a script or something, he'd said, yeah, I'll do it, but you have to hire my sister. You have to put my sister in the show. And he looked out for her in the very, very early part of her career, looked out for her, got her on many of the shows that he was writing, got her on, and then eventually, like, when he wrote Laverne and Shirley for her, and then he wanted to get Cindy, why am I forgetting her last name, Cindy Williams, in, because he liked her in American Graffiti, and they, you know, and Ron Howard and her worked well in American Graffiti. So when he wrote the parts of Laverne and Shirley for that episode of Happy Days, he wrote one for us. He wrote for Penny because he always wanted Penny to get work. And he wrote the other one because he wanted to work with Cindy Williams and have her reunite with Ron Howard. And then, of course, it spun off into Laverne and Shirley. So Penny Marshall is, you know, she completely acknowledges that she owes her entire career to Gary Marshall. So. Looking out for his sister. Looking out for his younger sister. I'll work on the scripts. You got to hire Penny. That's the deal. You hire Penny, I'll write the jokes for you. That's oh, man. All right, we got to take a break. We got weather and traffic. We'll come back. We got more Gary Marshall tribute here. And then coming up at 4 o'clock, after the 4 o'clock news, James Chapman is going to join us. He's an illustrator based in England, and he's got some really fun stuff to talk about, including charts that he's done for famous actors' careers. And then I think we're not going to get to all the clips before we have our guest on. So after the 4:30 news, we'll go back and play a few more clips. I think we'll have time after 4:30 to play that entire scene from Lost in America that I've been talking about, which is one of the funniest things ever. So that's all coming up, and our tribute to Gary Marshall continues.
No.
Oh, man. There it is, Mork and Mindy. When I was a kid, man, I watched that show all the time. Gary Marshall was one of the creators of that show, and as I mentioned earlier, Gary Marshall at one point in time had the top three comedies on television, and he was running them all. Did well over 1,000 episodes of sitcoms, moved on to movies and directed a ton of films, including some really big box office hits, and directed all the way up until this year. He just had a film out that just came out earlier this year called Mother's Day, and continued working. He just passed away Tuesday. He was 81 years old, and his contribution to television comedy is just huge. If you remember some of his TV shows or some of the movies and you would like to call us or text us with your thoughts, 312-981-7200. 312 area code says, I had the pleasure of meeting Gary Marshall in the mid-80s at the old Sheraton Hotel. He was in town shooting the underrated film Nothing in Common with Jackie Gleason and Tom Hanks, which we just talked about in a little bit, shot here in Chicago. And 312 says, he had the entire bar at the Sheraton in stitches with all of his stories. What a guy. Great storyteller, too. Whenever he was on talk shows, I mean, that guy, you know, I mean, obviously the guy was in the business since the 50s. And, you know, has so many stories throughout the time, and just told stories really well. 262 says, my favorite Mork and Mindy episode was where Foster Brooks was the station manager where Mindy worked. They got snowed in. Foster Brooks was sober at first, and he came back a few hours later drunk. Oh, Foster Brooks was drunk in an episode? I remember that episode, too, because I remember watching it and being really unnerved by the fact that Foster Brooks was sober. Like, he was playing it straight. And I was like, what the hell is Foster Brooks doing? I've never seen Foster Brooks not act like he's loaded. And it goes on for, like, the first 15 minutes because he's gruff in it. And he's really, like, mean to Mindy. And really straight, no, not drunk at all. And I remember really being put off by it. I'm like, wait a minute, why is Foster Brooks playing it straight? Why is he not hammered? And then, of course, you know, the last 10 minutes of the show, he's completely annihilated in doing the Foster Brooks stuff. 217 area code says, I remember him and Penny and Hocus Pocus, and I laugh every time. All righty then. Henry Winkler put out this tweet. Thank you for my professional life. Thank you for your loyalty, friendship, and generosity. Larger than life, funnier than most, wise, and the definition of friend. Henry Winkler. Anson Williams, who, of course, played Potsy, said, Gary Marshall gave me the opportunity of many lifetimes and, more importantly, genuine love and friendship, a love that transcended far beyond show business. Gary's selfless nurturing of talent will be passed on to future generations along with all that he has created. Anson Williams. And Donnie Most, who played Ralph Malf. Gary was a uniquely creative force. It was a great pleasure to see him work and to work with him. And on top of this, he was a warm and generous man who always fostered a feeling of family with our cast. We lost a giant today. All right. Yes. Let's hear what Cindy Williams and Penny Marshall said about working with Gary Marshall. Cindy Williams and Penny Marshall, of course, were Laverne and Shirley. Gary Marshall created that show as a spinoff of Happy Days and worked with them on that show. And he oversaw a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, he may not have gotten writing credits on everything. He may not have had directing credits on a lot of it. But almost, you know, all of the scripts of the sitcoms that he oversaw, he looked at and gave final approval and ultimately, in many cases, doctored or rewrote. So here is Cindy Williams and Penny Marshall talking about Gary Marshall.
Gary's great, except there was one thing he always did. If she did something wrong, he would say it to me. We'd both be sitting there like this. And he said to me, don't do that thing that you know. And if I did something wrong, he'd say it to Cindy. Don't do that with your hand or something. And we'd sit there and see, like, not knowing who we are. But that's how he dealt with.
As long as he would say it when he wasn't eating an egg salad sandwich.
You don't want to eat with my brother.
No.
Food comes out of his mouth.
And
he has to have a snack.
But he was great, and he could fix anything. You know, you'd say, I don't like that. Oh, except one day, you know, I was talking about regrets before and opening my big mouth. I said, I can't do this monologue. I just can't do it. It's just somehow it's not written right. I mean, who wrote this? And he said, I did. I was like, although right here, it's really great. This final line here sort of just tells the tale there. Anyway, he was great at coming down and troubleshooting things.
Was he on the set every day?
No, he had roller skates. He went to Happy Days, Mork and Mindy came in, and then, and we all... And
we'd ask for him. We'd say, we need to see Gary, and he was nowhere to be found, because he
was... But there were so many...
He had so many shows on the lot.
Alive, all the sitcoms were. And so, at the commissary, it was, who's got the monkey this week? That ship went around.
We just passed the monkey from...
Okay, who's doing this one this week? Because they all had the same script.
You know, it's funny because I was watching, you know, as I said, you know, preparing for the show, I was looking at a bunch of clips online, and one of them shows him in the late 70s roller skating from studio to studio. They're not lying about that. It's like he had three shows going at once. He had Happy Days, he had Mork and Mindy, and he had Laverne and Shirley going at once. So he would put on roller skates. And there's footage of this online. I think there was a special called A Day in the Life of Gary Marshall, and it was made, I think, in 79, I want to say. And in it, they show him on roller skates going through the lot, like roller skating into Mork and Mindy and seeing what's going on there, and then roller skating over to Laverne and Shirley. And it's just like he had an office on the lot so he could roller skate to his office and then to the studios. And I'm not really sure, I guess because 1979 roller skating was a big thing. And as you said yesterday, Esmeralda, roller skates are heavy. So, man. Let's see. Richard Lewis, the great comedian on Twitter, said, what a devotion to the art of comedy. Happy days have come and gone, said Richard Lewis. Jason Alexander, of course, from Seinfeld, George Costanza. He appeared in Pretty Woman. I don't remember him in Pretty Woman because I hate the movie because I've only seen it just the one time. Do you remember him in Pretty Woman, Esmeralda? Do you remember George Costanza?
Oh, yeah, he was the dirtbag.
Which dirtbag?
He was the dirtbag friend of Richard Gere.
Oh.
He tried to feel up Julia Roberts because he found out she was a prostitute.
Okay.
And he's like, how much? And I remember he, like, grabs her and Richard Gere comes in and he kind of, like, beats him up a little bit.
Did he have hair? Because that was in 1990, and I know that you know he did a McDLT commercial. Do you ever see the McDLT commercial that Jason Alexander did?
No.
Oh, you got to see it. Just find it online, Esmeralda. Do yourself a favor and watch it. It's him singing and dancing about how great the McDLT is. You have to see it. And in that commercial, he's got a head of hair. In it, he's got hair. It's balding a little bit. You can see it thinning, but he's got a full head of hair. And I'm guessing that was probably about 5 years before Pretty Woman. But Jason Alexander said, Gary Marshall gave me one of the best experiences I have ever had in my career. So thanks, pal. That's from Jason Alexander. Ashton Kutcher said, I lost a friend and a mentor. We lost a beautiful man and a masterful storyteller. Ashton Kutcher on Twitter. Ashton Kutcher, of course, appeared in New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day. Patton Oswalt said, I hope Gary Marshall does a Squiggy entrance when he enters the afterlife. Hello! Whenever Lenny and Squiggy would enter in. Do you remember that, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
They'd bust the door. But it would always have to be set up with, well, what kind of idiot would do that? Hello! They would always have to set it up with a line where the timing would be where they'd come in after the word idiot or something. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Well, who's that stupid? Hello! Oh, man. I bet somebody put about 80 of those. Somebody had to put that together on YouTube, don't you think, Dan? That there has to be like a 20 minutes of Lenny and Squiggy entrances? There has to be.
Searching now.
There's got to be. I mean, if somebody can put together 26 minutes of David Caruso and his smart aleck remarks at the beginning of CSI Miami, somebody can put together a bunch of Lenny and Squiggy entrances.
7 minutes and 18 seconds worth.
Well, hang on to that. Maybe we'll play that a little bit later on. We'll get some of those, some of the greatest. It's always, always hilarious when Lenny and Squiggy entered. Always. Okay. All right. We have to take a break. We got the news coming up. And after the news, we will talk live from England. We will talk to James Chapman, who is an illustrator who has done some charts documenting the careers of actors, as well as doing some daily illustrations. And he's got a couple of books out, too. We'll talk to him, and then we'll get back to some more Gary Marshall after the 4:30 news and get to more clips, including the Lost in America scene. All right. We'll take a break. News is next. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. That, of course, is Pretty Woman from the movie of the same name, which is a movie I hate. But Gary Marshall directed it, and Gary Marshall did other things that were actually good, like really, really good, instead of Pretty Woman, which sucked. But he did a bunch of really great things, including creating some of the most memorable television shows in comedy history. And so he directed a bunch of movies as well that made a lot of money, including the one we just played the song from. And he passed away yesterday at the age of 81. And we played some clips earlier where we heard him talk about how Happy Days was created. We heard some great stories about him working with Robin Williams and his sister basically discovering Robin Williams. We heard Cindy Williams and Penny Marshall talking about what it's like to work with Gary Marshall. You know, Gary Marshall brought The Odd Couple to the TV screen, and we played one of the funniest Odd Couple clips ever when Felix and Oscar were on Password. We played that. And there's some more stuff to play. We also have a few more texts. I'm sorry. If you have texts come in or calls about Gary Marshall, your favorite TV stuff, if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Seth Myers tweeted, Gary Marshall was as sweet as he was generous, and he told a great story. He will be missed. Yvette Nicole Brown, who was on the new version of The Odd Couple, and a lot of people remember Esmeralda, you know, from Shirley, from Community.
Yes.
So funny on that show. What a profound honor it was to know you, my life and the lives of anyone who has ever been blessed to meet you or know you or work with you or watch something that you've lovingly created will never be the same. Sarah Paulson, who everybody knows from the American Horror Story and... just got nominated for The People versus O.J. Simpson. She co-starred in The Other Sister. She tweeted, Gary Marshall, I am forever indebted to you. Thank you for taking a chance on me. I love you, and on the wings of the angels, you rest now. And then Dave Foley, who worked with Gary Marshall on The New Odd Couple, said, worked with Gary Marshall on The New Odd Couple. I was so excited to meet him. He was gracious, kind, and very funny. So that's how some of the celebrities are reacting to Gary Marshall's passing. And we have some more clips to play. These are all from movies. The last clips that I'm going to play are all from movies. This first one is from his first directorial effort. It's a movie called Young Doctors in Love, and it came out in the summer of 1982. It was an airplane-like comedy, lots of gags, and it all took place in a hospital. It was kind of a takeoff on soap operas. There were a lot of actual soap opera stars who were in it who made cameos. So, you know, a lot of General Hospital people, All My Children people were all scattered throughout the movie. The stars were Michael McKee and Sean Young. They played medical students. And Michael McKeon was a very pretentious, like, medical student. And so they're going through classes. Taylor Negron, the late, great Taylor Negron, who was one of the funniest stand-up comedians of all time. He passed away a few years ago. One of my favorite stand-up comedians. He's in it as well. And, of course, the amazing, the incredible Harry Dean Stanton, who, by the way, turned 90 2 weeks ago. Harry Dean Stanton is the king, and this scene that we're about to play is Harry Dean Stanton is teaching this class, and this is just a scene where Harry Dean Stanton is teaching it and tries to teach a lesson to the class. So anyway, listen up. This is ridiculous, but it's very funny. Gary Marshall directed Young Doctors in Love.
And so, without further fuss, I give you the ever diligent Dr. Oliver Ludwig.
Doctor?
Hello.
Welcome. Here in pathology, we consult the dead and ask them how we may cure the living. Here we interpret the messages the body sends us. Messages found in substances the uninformed find disgusting. They are not disgusting, they are beautiful. They are the literature of pathology. Doctors, the human being emits, oozes, secretes, excretes, salivates, urinates, menstruates, lactates, evacuates, expectorates, and ejaculates.
You left out regurgitates.
Hey, don't help me, Kurtzman. Now, there are more than 20 vital bodily fluids, and I'm proud to say that I have tasted every one of them. This, urine, for example. What will it tell us? Definite sugar taste. Now, I don't need a battery of tests to tell me that the patient has a slight pre-diabetic condition. Doctor, will you confirm my findings?
No, thank you. I'm trying to cut down.
That's an order, Doctor.
I know my limit. I... No, no sugar.
No sugar taste, the doctor says. Just my little way of showing you that there's something far more important to the pathologist than taste. That is the power of observation. If you had been observing, doctor, you would have seen that I put this finger in the urine, but I put this finger in my mouth. Lesson number one, doctor.
Yes, if you had tasted the specimen, doctor, you would have noticed a dangerously high level of fractoids. This patient has pituitary glombosis.
Oh, well, let me see that. Tastes like plain old piss to me, doctor. All right, with a slight metallic flavor indicating a high level of zinc. Doctor, here, you try.
Wait, just a minute. I didn't really taste the urine. I was just kidding.
You what?
I did the same thing he did. I switched fingers. I thought it was obvious.
Can I have a word with you, doctor? Now, listen here. You might have made a fool out of some of my colleagues, but you're going to have to get up early in the morning to put one over on Dr. Oliver Wendell Ludwig. Now, you look at this face. What do you see?
I see alcohol poisoning and trichosis in the tertiary stage.
Get out. Get out! Out!
But I'm sorry, but I'm picturing it in my head because I've seen that movie like 800 times. Harry Dean Stanton is hysterical in that in the movie because he's the best. But yeah, that's by the way, that's one of the only scenes that I was looking up that are playable on the air.
Oh,
and wow. that one pushes the envelope a little bit. So, all right, really quickly before we break, I want to play a clip from whose favorite movie, Dan? Whose favorite movie is this?
Reese Witherspoon's
favorite movie.
Oh.
Oh. directed by Gary Marshall. It stars Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. Goldie Hawn plays a rich, really jerky woman who falls overboard, wakes up with amnesia, and Kurt Russell pretends, picks her up at the hospital and pretends to be her wife, and then like forces her to cook and clean and all kinds of stuff. I saw this movie with Mel Torme, by the way. So I did. This is from Overboard. Gary Marshall directed this movie. Very funny. Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn.
Annie! Stop! I don't recognize this man.
Your wife's had an almost total loss of memory.
I can't believe she doesn't know her own husband. This missing link person is not my husband.
Oh, Annie. Please.
Annie.
Right?
No, that's not right. That's not my name.
This is completely crazy. Honey, sit down. Everything's going to be okay now. I am your husband. My name is Dean Prophet. We've been married for 13 years.
Wait. I admit I have forgotten numerous things. But I truly, from the depths of my soul, do not remember you. Now, don't you think there'd be some spark of recognition?
We don't know.
Maybe you'll spark to this.
Believe it. He could be some stranger off the street.
Well, he seems to like you, and he's a nice guy.
He's good looking.
Quayne.
Thank you.
What's my full name?
Oh, come on.
What is it?
Well, Mrs. Annie Prophet.
What's my maiden name?
Annie Goolahy.
Annie Goolahy? Where in God's name did I grow up? Dog Patch?
Oh, no, not there. Over in Goober, Idaho. Well, it's a nuclear waste dump.
Where did I meet you?
Hank's Donut World? Seattle, you used to hang out there every night when you were still in the Navy. You remember
that? I was in the armed forces.
What? I think I still got some of those postcards you sent me from Okinawa.
The Navy?
Oh, come on, honey. You gotta know you were in the Navy.
No, I don't know. I don't know any of this, and I don't know you. I need some proof. Stop staring at me. Eat your checkers.
Look, if it were up to us, we'd be glad to give her to you, but she's right.
I'm going to need some verification.
Oh, good. Listen, I know what you mean. I understand. Now, I don't like to talk about this in public, and I've never told anybody about this, but she does have a small strawberry-like birthmark. It's kind of high up on her left cheek, and it's unique. Come to daddy.
You know, if you really think about it, the plot of that movie is so awful.
Yeah, no,
it
he
is
kidnaps
truly,
a woman.
Truly awful. Mel Torme loved it. And it's Reese Witherspoon's favorite movie. Dan, have you seen Overboard?
Oh, yeah, like CMT runs it like every other week.
And, you know, it really is horrible. The plot of it is absolutely horrible, but I tell you, I laugh every time I watch it. It's a really horrendous plot. So, all right, we got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic. When we come back, we'll talk about the classic scene from Lost in America that I'm going to play, where Gary Marshall played the casino owner and Albert Brooks desperately tries to get him to give their nest egg back. And we'll hear most of that scene, which is one, I think, one of the funniest scenes of all time, and Gary Marshall is a big reason for it. Yeah. He directed Beaches.
Yeah.
Gary Marshall directed Beaches. That's for you Beaches fans out there. Yeah. Okay. Gary Marshall passed away, and I wanted to end the Gary Marshall tribute with one of the funniest things that I've ever seen committed to film. And I was telling you off the air that you need to see all of Albert Brooks's movies, but Lost in America in particular. I think it's one of the greatest American comedies ever made, one of the best movies of the 80s. And this scene that we're about to play is Albert Brooks and Julie Haggerty play a yuppie couple who drop out of society. They liquidate all their assets. They buy a Winnebago. They decide that they're going to drive around with their nest egg of money and just drive around the country and live in a Winnebago. They get to Vegas. Julie Haggerty in the middle of the night blows the nest egg gambling. And this is the scene where Albert Brooks begs and tries to convince, as an ad man, tries to convince the owner of the casino, Gary Marshall, to give them their money back. This is one of the funniest scenes ever.
As the boldest experiment in advertising history, you give us our money back.
I beg your pardon?
Give us our money back. Think of the publicity. The Hilton Hotels has these billboards all over Los Angeles where the winners of these slot machine jackpots, their faces are all over L.A., and I know that works. I've seen people at corners look up and say, maybe I'll go to the Hilton. Well, you give us our money back. I don't even know now because I'm just coming off the top of my head, but a visual where if we had a billboard and the Desert Inn handed us our nest egg back, this gives the Desert Inn, really, Vegas is not associated with feeling.
Well, first of all, those people on those signs, they won. You lost.
But that's it. That's the campaign.
What's the campaign?
You gave my wife and I our money back because you reviewed our situation and you realized that we dropped out of society and we weren't just gamblers and we made a mistake and you gave our money back. Do you know you couldn't get a room in this place for 10 years?
Then everybody will want their money back. All the gamblers will say, hey, go to the Desert Inn, get our money back.
Not gamblers. No, you keep all the money. It's just that my wife and I aren't gamblers. That's what I'm saying. That's the distinction. My wife and I represent the few people, and I'll tell you something, there's probably nobody else that's ever going to come and have this happen. So really, probably we're the only two. We represent the people who have taken the chance, and we made a mistake, and then the Desert Inn corrects it and gives it back. There is a warm feeling here.
But you don't think everybody then will want their money back?
No. In the campaign, you make a clear distinction between the bold, who would be my wife and I, and then all the other schmucks who come here to see Wayne Newton.
I like Wayne Newton.
I said Wayne Newton.
What were you talking about? I heard you say schmuck C. Wayne Newton. I like him. That makes me a schmuck.
Oh, no. I'm stupid to use an entertainer as a dividing point. I just meant all the people that come here carefree on their way to see a show, and my wife and I, who, if you knew us, believe me, you would believe me.
You're bold.
Yes. So what do you think?
I don't think the sign's going to work and giving back.
The sign is wrong. A jingle, a television campaign. The Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart.
It's enough. The casino is our main means of income. Not the coffee shop, not the show. The casino, that's what pays all our bills. So if we give everybody their money back, we can't pay our bills. I'm sorry, we can't change our policy.
Okay, play a fun word game with me. This will do it. What do you think of when you think of a hunting lodge?
Hunt.
Yes. What do you think of when you think of a rest home?
Your rest.
So, you see, we're going to associate the Desert Inn with something beautiful. You don't think of anything here now, do you?
Gambling. That's why people come here.
That's
right. They gamble. They want to go to hunting lodges. They go to Wisconsin. They want to rest. They go to New Orleans. They want to gamble. They come to Vegas. That's what it's called, gambling, Las Vegas gambling. You see signs around this town with guys with guns shooting ducks. It's a gambling place. They don't shoot ducks, raccoons, beavers. They come to gamble. That's what we do here. Now, you're a nice guy. You make me laugh and everything. But our policy is we can't give you money back. I'm real sorry. Say goodbye to your wife. I got to go home.
What about Miracle on 34th Street?
It's a Christmas movie.
Yes, it was. Now, there was Gimbels, who was afraid that if they gave something up, that they would lose. And they wound up benefiting. He was afraid that if he gave to Macy's, he would lose his business, and he didn't. It's the same situation. This costs you nothing. To give us our money back is nothing. You would be the one who would benefit.
Wrong. In that movie, Santa Claus took care of everything. It was Macy's, Gimbels, but Santa Claus came, and he fixed the whole thing. We don't have Santa Claus.
Then we get him.
Who?
Santa Claus. We get him. That's the ad campaign. There it goes. I have the chills. We get Santa Claus. He's the one on the billboard. He hands us our nest egg. We associate for the first time ever Christmas and Las Vegas. Las Vegas, a Christmas place to be.
We're finished.
Oh my God, that scene is unbelievably funny, and it's when you see it, mm-hmm. because he's in a bathrobe. Albert Brooks is in a stupid bathrobe the whole time, like desperately trying to get Gary Marshall to give the money back. God, that movie's so funny. So that's Gary Marshall. The stuff that he, you know, you grew up watching Gary Marshall stuff, didn't you?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, Pretty Woman. That's I think one of the only movies my mom really knows.
Is that
Pretty Woman? It's like, yeah, Ma, Pretty Woman.
Yeah, and TV wise, everybody, you know, from the '70s, those movies, you know, those shows were just ridiculous in popularity. So Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy, Odd Couple. Anyway, a huge loss to the world of comedy and the world of television, in particular, Gary Marshall, who, as you heard, is very funny. By the way, there was improvisation going on in there, which is why he, like, cracks up. At one point, he's like, look, this is funny. You make me laugh and everything, because he broke during the take. And, like, at one point, he goes, you want to rest? Go to New Orleans. He's like, wait a minute, New Orleans?
Yeah.
But Albert Brooks kept that in. It was like, you want to rest? You just go to New Orleans. Really? You think New Orleans and rest? I don't know. They don't shoot beavers and raccoons. So funny. Oh man! Anyway, that's Gary Marshall, and you got to watch some Albert Brooks Esmeralda. Now, you said you saw Defending Your Life.
I've seen, yeah. I've seen and The Muse.
And The Muse. Well, don't judge all of his movies based upon The Muse.
Okay.
Which is not a terrible movie, but it's just not up to his standards.
Right.
But
right.
Lots Lost in America.
Okay.
It's a pretty amazing film. All right. We have to break. Do we have to break? Okay. We're going to break. We'll come back, and then Steve Grzanich and The Opening Bell is up next. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Triple Play Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We'll be back.